quite the introduction.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Have a seat. Well, God bless. That was quite the introduction. Ooh, I sound loud, don't I? Mellow me out. In the back. He caught me off guard. I thought he was going to sing a song and, you know, do the big My Wonderful Wife introduction, but he got me up here much faster than I thought. We're going to get into God's Word here in a couple minutes, but first I want to talk to you about what I'm going to teach today. I'm going to teach on this word called compassion and love. They kind of go hand in hand. In the kitchen. Wipe that out, Fred. All of you guys in CD land, my husband's looking for my glasses. So we're going to talk about this word about compassion and love. And compassion is something that is within our depths, the very depths of our heart. And I know that it's something that God puts in there when we get Holy Spirit. You'll see that as we work the word. It is actually an attribute of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is something that moves within you deeply to take action. It connotes action. You can't, there are my glasses. You can't operate this type of love and compassion we're going to look at today without Holy Spirit. It is something that drives you, gives you the most yearning desire to help someone in a situation. Not just help them, but help them out of it with a solution. That's what compassion is. It's a word that you have to operate in your life. And it's a yearning deep inside you. And it's not a Greek word that I can pronounce very well, so I'm not even going to try. But look it up, because it's really a magnificent study in the Word. And what we're going to see today is only a part of that. I want to look at 1 John to set some things that I know we're all very familiar with, but I want to look at it anyway and just remind ourselves of this wonderful, compassionate, and loving God that we belong to and that we worship and serve. 1 John 4. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And that's the point. God is love. Our Heavenly Father is love. That is His nature. That is what He manifests towards us. Look at 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and him is no darkness at all. God is love and God is light, and there is no darkness in him whatsoever. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God that we have the privilege to be loved by. Look at Psalms. We're going to see some more attributes of God. Go to Psalm 86. Verse 15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. You'll see, as you look at the word compassion, you'll see a lot of things that go along with compassion, like mercy, like graciousness. God is full of compassion. God's full. Okay, now, think about it. God is huge, right? He's a creator of the heavens and the earth. I mean, he's huge, and he's full of compassion. Look at Psalm 145. So, if God is full of compassion and compassion stirs a desire within one to help someone out of trouble, you think God wants to help us? Well, he's full of compassion. So he must be full of the desire to deliver us and to bless us. Kind of helps me understand how he could give his son for us. That was a great sacrifice of God to do for us. But he is so full of compassion and has such a desire to get man out of the soup that Adam got him into thousands of years ago, that he gave his only begotten son. Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. You think God's a compassionate God? I do. Look at Psalm. This one I thought was really cool. Because as we go through the Word and we begin to see the example of compassion from God's Word, you begin to understand that compassion is God's love in action. And that's really what I titled this teaching. It's the best definition of compassion I've ever heard. Compassion is God's love in action. Look at Psalm 78, verse 37. This is talking about the children of Israel. For their heart was not right with him, God, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquities and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. You know, the children of Israel had a way of really taking U-turns. You know, leaving the direction that God was trying to direct them in, trying to help them get deliverance in their life. Many times, they forsook everything that God taught them. Yet it says that he forgave them because he had compassion upon them. You know, it's easy to have compassion upon people when they're doing well, when everything's hunky-dory and they've got a problem. But what if part of the problem is that they're not hunky-dory? Now, what if maybe they're out of it a little bit? Compassion is still something that can be stirred up within our heart because of our love of God to reach out and help that person, even when they deserve it the least. Now, that's the way God loves us. That's how he manifests his love towards us. Let's look at Matthew and see some examples of Jesus Christ walking in compassion. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to start there. When someone is moved with compassion, great things happen. And we're going to see some of these examples. We already saw God's love and compassion, how it kept him from letting his wrath go upon the children of Israel. And sometimes, you know, we kind of joke around about the children of Israel not being obedient, but there are times in my life when I'm not obedient, and I sure need God's compassion and mercy and graciousness. So, you know, sometimes we joke about it, but really, we all deserve what we don't get. You know that? We all deserve what we don't get. We don't deserve the compassion and love and mercy and grace that God affords to us. But that's okay because he's decided to do it and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to take it when I need it. Matthew 14, verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. He was moved with compassion and then he did something. What did he do? Healing. He healed their sick. He did something about the situation. That's what compassion is. It moves you to the godly action with a godly solution. Look at, this is also, if you read the context, we'll go to Matthew 9, but the context of that is also the feeding of the multitude. The five loaves and two fishes. That's pretty cool. He healed them, and then he took five loaves of bread and two fishes, and he fed the multitude. I've seen that happen with our our banquets sometimes, when you got this food, and then you look at this crowd of people and more, and you go, I hope we have enough. And there's always leftovers. You know, it's a wonderful thing. And they had 12 baskets left over of food after Jesus Christ fed them. He was moved with compassion, and he fed them. And then he healed their sick, and then he fed them. He took care of God's people. That's what a compassionate person does. We take care of each other. Look at Matthew 9. You guys there? Okay, I'm going. Matthew 9, verse 36. We're looking at the walk of Jesus Christ. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He looked at these people and he saw they had no one to lead them, no one to direct them. And he looked at them and said, man, they're like sheep without a shepherd. Now, I don't know how much you know about sheep. I know a little bit. They're cute as they can be most of the time, but they're dumb as dirt. If they don't have someone to watch over them, they will continue to eat grass until they just walk off the edge of a cliff. They can't protect themselves from wolves and animals and bears. They need a shepherd. Okay, we need to walk with that greatness of God and Christ in us towards one another in the body of Christ and in the world. We can be the most compassionate, helpful people to anybody that wants to receive, because we have God in Christ in us. We have that spirit that gives us that ability to love unconditionally, to give without thought of self, to be compassionate. And we should want to be. I mean, look at the compassion that God shows towards us. Our little sheep. We don't want our little sheep, quote unquote, because I know we're sons, to wander aimlessly. We want to help people. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Here's another example, and actually this is another example that Jesus Christ working with the multitudes. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I can find it challenging working with one person. But these are multitudes, thousands of people that have come to hear him teach the word to bring deliverance to their lives. And look at his heart for them. Matthew 15, verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitudes, because they continued with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. You know what? He had taught the word to them for 3 days. They had seen sign, miracles, and wonders by being around him. It was time for them to leave, and his heart was, I'm not sending them away hungry. You know? So when some of you come to the house and I say, sit, eat, remember this teaching. I don't want you to go away hungry. But you know, God's heart and the Lord Jesus Christ, his heart was to care for God's people in every category. And we should have that same compassion being manifested in our lives, that same love being manifested in our lives, one towards another. What better thing do we have to do? What better thing do you have to do than to walk in God's love and compassion? Nobody's saying nothing, but I kind of think that's true. Nothing. And you know what? This is a different multitude, because if you read the context of this, there's 7 loaves and a few little fishes. And when they were done feeding the multitudes with 7 loaves of bread, now think about it, and a few little fishes. I'm not talking about the fish that Willie and Barney and I catch that are this big. I'm talking about little fishes, a few of them. They had 7 baskets full of meat, fish meat left over. These are 2 different accounts, but they show the great power and the great heart of Jesus Christ and the power of God and what he can do when people move with compassion and do his will. It's amazing what he can pull off. I want to look at Luke, because this is a great account. Chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 12. Again, this is Jesus Christ walking through his day, doing his thing, like you and I walk through our day, or drive through our day, or shop through our day, or talk through our day, doing our thing. This is Jesus Christ doing what God called him to do. In verse 12, it says, "Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not." Do you think Jesus Christ wanted to help this woman? Yes. He looked upon this scene. Here is a woman who's getting ready to bury her only son, and she has no husband. Do you think this woman was in great need? And Jesus Christ was stirred with compassion. This compassion lives within him like it lives with you and I. And he went to God and he said, "God, how can I help her? Father, show me what to do." He had to go to God for guidance. He always did the Father's will. We should go to God for guidance daily, many times a day. And he said to the woman, "Weep not." And he came and he touched the briar, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a great reverence or fear on all, and they glorified who? Did they glorify Jesus Christ? They glorified God, saying, "What a great prophet is risen up among us, that God hath visited his people." You know what? When we reach out and help others, we want to make sure God gets the glory, because that's who deserves it. He's the one that's put his spirit within us that gives us this ability to love unconditionally, without fear, without worry. And that love and compassion that lives within us is something that the world needs. I mean, come on, let's think about it. Who else has a better answer than us when someone's in trouble, if the answer we give them is God's word, right? Not my opinion. What does God say? You know, it says in the word of God that everything that pertains unto life and godliness lies within the word. Do we have the ability to get answers? Yes. Do we give godly answers? Yes. Because worldly answers don't work. They don't. Just look at the world. If they worked, it'd be a lot better place, and it sure isn't. I want you guys, I like to give you a little assignment. I want you guys to look at Luke 10 when you get home sometime today. Take the time. Verse 29 through 37. It's the example that Jesus Christ used of the Good Samaritan. And it's an example of what a compassionate person would do. And there's also the example in there of what just your normal Joe would do and what religious leaders usually do. And I want you to look at that and see the difference between what you have to offer and what the world had to offer. It's an amazing account, and it should really stir the love of God and the love of Christ up within your heart. And it's important for us to have this love and compassion in our hearts. Look at Colossians. Because now that Jesus Christ is gone, who takes the place of Christ now? Who? Are you sure? Okay, I need you to say it with a little more boldness. Who takes the place of Jesus Christ in this world today? Whoa! You guys on the CD heard that one, didn't you? That is correct. We do. Colossians 2, verse 6. "And as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Verse 7. "Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." If we are to be rooted and grounded in Christ, We need to have our heads in the book. We need to see how Jesus Christ walked with the Father. We need to see how he ministered to people. We need to look at the examples that God seemed fit to put into his word. Look at them, learn from them, and remember it is God and Christ in you, and we are to be rooted and grounded in Christ. You know, God's word tells us that we will do works that Jesus Christ did in greater works than these. The word says that. How can you do those works if you don't know how he did those works? See, it's important to understand the walk of Jesus Christ because we have a responsibility in this administration to walk like he walked and to serve like he served. In Galatians, it tells us not to use grace as an occasion to sin, but by love, do what? Serve yourself? No. Serve one another. Isn't it a great calling that God has called us to? Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 12. That ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. That you would walk worthy of God. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to walk worthy. We're supposed to walk this wonderful life of love and service to the body of Christ. And compassion is a huge part of that. Not judgment. You can't find one place in the church epistles where it tells us to judge each other, where it tells us to walk away from one another because somebody makes a mistake, or maybe somebody doesn't understand as much as you do in the word at that moment in time. No, we're told to serve one another, to love one another, to restore one another, to teach the truth of God's word to one another. We need to live this, people. Nobody else in this world is going to do it if we don't. And it starts in your own heart, in your own home, with your own family. And then it spreads to the body of Christ. And then it spreads to people who don't know. You know, we need to have compassion on the people in this world. Some of them are really screwed up. And they don't have any way out but God's word. They don't even know that. They don't even realize how much they need him. But we do. And who's going to be able to tell them if we don't? It is huge to be who God has called you to be. Look at John chapter 17. We can really, we've got to believe within our hearts that we can do this. Because if you don't believe you can do it, you're not going to do it. You're not even going to attempt to do it. And that's just not us. We just aren't quitters. We know what we have inside us. And sometimes we may not rise up to the degree that we need to at that moment. Okay, recognize that and rise up the next time. Keep moving. Keep going. Keep walking the word. Keep growing. John 17, verse 26. And I have declared unto them thy name. This is Jesus Christ speaking to the Father. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That was something Jesus Christ asked God for. Did he get it? Yes, he did, on the day of Pentecost, when God put his spirit within us. We can do this. We have the ability. It's in the very depths of our heart. Now get it out. Let people see it. What do you think is going to draw people to God? Rules, judgment, regulations, failure? No. Peace, joy, love, compassion, grace, mercy. We don't have to be hard on people. The world's hard enough on people. We need to have compassion and love towards one another and thankfulness to God for the ability to do it. Let's close in Ephesians chapter 5. I love this verse, a couple of verses of scriptures here. I endeavor to rise up and do this every day in my life. And it's sometimes quite a challenge for me, and other times it just seems so me. And it's something that God has asked us to do, and God would not ask you to do it if you could not do it. He's not like that. I mean, think about it, you parents. Would you give your son or daughter a task that they couldn't do knowing they'd fail? Would you? No, of course not. That question almost doesn't even need to be asked. Neither would our Heavenly Father. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. And be ye therefore followers, and a better translation of that is imitators of God as dear children. I didn't write it. I didn't direct it. God wrote this. And God is asking you, each one in this room, and me, and those listening to this CD, to be imitators of Him, of God, and walk in love. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. God has called you to love the way He wants you to love. He has put His Spirit within you so you can love that way. And compassion is God's love in action. He's given us the ability. He's given us the examples from His Word. He's encouraged us. And He has asked us, actually commanded us. It's not in a form of a question. It's be ye followers of me. Be ye imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. Man, oh man, we have the ability to do this. We need to pray perhaps for God to show us bigger how to do it. Perhaps enlighten our eyes of understanding in this arena towards our husbands and wives, towards our children, towards our roommates, towards each other in the body of Christ, whether you live in San Diego or outside of San Diego. This is huge. We have His love within us. We have His Spirit within us. We have His Word. We have the truth to give godly solutions in time of need. And that is compassion. I'm going to pray. Thanks. Father, I thank You right now in the name of Jesus Christ for Your great love and heart and compassion towards us. Father, help us to understand the greatness of what You've put within us better today than we've ever understood it before. Continue to teach us and allow us this great privilege of loving one another and helping one another, and in the process, just keeping Satan under our feet. He doesn't deserve to have any place within our life because of the wonderful price that Your Son paid at Calvary. Help us to realize this and not to let that life be done in vain, but that we walk with that great power that He left us. And we look to You and we look to Your Word to manifest the things that You ask us to. We sure love You, God, and there's no other God before us that we could worship and serve and love greater than You. You deserve all the praise and the glory, Father, that can be within our hearts, and we give it to You this day. And we're thankful for what Christ accomplished and for His heart of love to us. And we pray, Father, in His wonderful name, Christ Jesus, amen. Thanks very much.